So in talking about the signs of Qiyamah, now for those of you that are guests, and I saw quite a few of them coming, Qiyamah is talking about the end of time, towards the end of time. Muslims do not specify exactly when will be the end of time. However, there are certain signs that we are called upon to look at. Amongst them is the construction of high-rise buildings. Now, it's not that Islam is against high-rise buildings. It's not that Islam is against fancy buildings. That was never the issue. The issue is, what is the purpose of those given buildings? Like, for example, we were talking the other day, they were intending to construct a mile-high building. I believe it was in Saudi Arabia, a mile-high building. Now, what's the purpose of making the mile-high building? Well, we will have the highest and the tallest building in the given area. It's mainly a thing to show off with, because many people will not be able to live on the top floor. To buy the top floor is going to cost you probably 25 or 30 million dollars, if not definitely riyals. It's a show thing. And the idea of having it on the top floor would be possibly because, so that way a helicopter can land and things like that. So the purpose of that building has nothing to do with functionality, as much as it has to do with showing off we had the biggest building. When Dubai was building its biggest building, the largest building, or tallest building, they kept on going to the authorities, and I don't want to mention the authorities because if my name comes out, I mention somebody's name, they may put on my passport, I can't go to that country, or they'll make my life a misery when I land there. So we won't mention who the authority was, but it was said the following, when they would take the plans to him and say, Sheikh, we have so many flaws. He would say, go back and make it longer or taller. Comes back again. Come back again. When he comes back again, go back and make it taller. Why? Because the pride was going to be, let's see how tall we can make it. And that was the whole idea. There was nothing related to functionality. And many of those buildings are running at a loss at times, but it sounds good. We have the tallest building in our country until somebody else beats you. So this is the idea of construction towards the time of Qiyamah, that people will be building buildings, masjids, going in projects that are really not to create a spiritual connection to Allah, as much as, or for that matter, even for creating a benefit to humanity, that's nothing to do with it. The idea of it is bigger, better, and that's about it, nothing beyond. So that's point number six. Point number seven, a time will come when people will sell their deen. That means deen, the religion, will not have much value. For a promotion, we'll be willing to sacrifice various aspects of who we are. For some, it may be the eating habits. For others, it may be the drinking habits. You know, to make a deal, well, I'll have to sit with people that are in a casino, that have alcohol flowing for one purpose, because I got to convince him. And we'll have shaitan playing games with us. Shaitan will say, but you're going to spend the money on the masjid, or you're going to spend the money on a sadaqah project, or you're going to spend the money on a homeless shelter, I'm going to spend the money on my father who's... But your father was living for already 40 or 50 years. Allah provided for your father. Allah provided for the masjid. Allah provided for the homeless. Allah provided for the medical community. Allah provided for the cancer research center. So why are you doing this? Why don't you just be honest and say, I don't have full control over my heart. Oh Allah, guide my heart. That's why we make the dua. Oh Allah, guide my heart towards that which is good. So point number seven is saying, let's not sell our deen, because what's written for you, that's all you are going to get. And if you get more, and it's not written for you to keep that extra, as I've mentioned many times, people have a lot. But if Allah has not allowed for them to use that in the propagation of good, whatever that good may be, whether it's deen, whether it's education, you name it, it's not going to happen. So it's not about getting a lot, it's about getting that amount that will empower you and empower society and empower people around you. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Allah says they are those people that sell the deen. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. They think that they are making a profit, but in reality, the selling of the deen is not only reducing their profit in the long run, but is destroying they given iman and wama kanu muhtadin, and they are also preventing themselves from various forms of hidayah. Let us continue with point number 8. A time will come before the signs of Qiyamah is people will violate the bonds of relationships. That means relationships will not be taken very seriously. Now, as we understand, the greatest abuse takes place where? On children, on husbands, on wives, on parents. Thereafter, the next category will be employer, employees, and thereafter the next category will be those around us in community. Now, why is this the case? It takes place because those that are closest to us, we take them often for granted. And because we take them for granted, we do things that are very abusive to them. And then we think we have this special card, we just like swipe and say, I'm sorry, and sorry makes everything right. And this is not a very good thing. This is not a very good thing. So relationships and relation bonds or relational bonds are something we should take very, very seriously, because the hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, if you want success in your life, you want barakah in your life, you want a long life, you want a prosperous life, you want a happy life, then take care of your relationship, sila rahmi as we call it. Take care of your children, take care of your parents, take care of your family and your spouses and your cousins and your uncles. Don't just say, you know, the more I take care of them, the more they want. Well, you know what? Give them a little bit extra. It's not going to hurt you. Is what's written for you, you have to understand. That is all you are going to get in life. That's it. If Allah has not made it permissible or right or good for you to consume 10 bags of rice in 1 year, you can have 50 bags in your home. If only one bag is written for you, that's all you're going to get. You know, there are many times, sometimes we eat food and we throw up and we have excuses like food poisoning, or I don't feel good, or maybe the cook, or maybe this, or maybe that. It's wonderful excuses. But at the end of the day, Allah did not wish for that food to be in your stomach, and it came out. So this hadith is teaching us, take care of your relationships, inshallah. And by taking care of your relationships, Allah will strengthen your bonds. And the reason why we don't take care of our relationships is because of الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِذُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى. Shaitan tells you, you know, if you're going to give your cousin money, oh, he's going to do this and that. You know, if you're going to send money for your uncle, you're sending money for your uncle over there, but look at yourself, you're wearing a simple shirt. Or you can invest that money on yourself. And you notice how shaitan plays. So you go to the store to buy that shirt. And you pick up the shirt, you look at the shirt. You look at the salesman, saleswoman, whoever is there. It's $35. When is it going on sale? Next week, sir. Okay, I'll come back next week. You don't get that shirt. The store doesn't get to sell that shirt. Your uncle doesn't get that money abroad. And where does the money go? It goes in a speeding fine, in a parking ticket. You don't benefit, others don't benefit. So my point I'm trying to make here is, take care of your relationships. Spend on them in the right manner, in the right places. Motivate them with the assets. Spend on their education. And inshallah, Allah will give you barakah. Now, I don't mean do it irresponsibly. If you know somebody has a problem with alcohol or drugs and spend the money in the wrong place, then the issue is different, of course. Point number 9, justice will become a virtue that is very, very hard to find. My brothers, this is very important, this given. And this is derived from hadith as part of the signs of Qiyamah. Justice is something Allah loves, whether it's to Muslims or non-Muslims. Even if you see two animals fighting, separate them. If you know, animals go through their breathing session and things like that. So when they are together, they sort of attack one another. It's your duty, if Allah gave you the strength, to separate them, to bring peace and love for them. And it is only through justice does Allah make a nation prosperous. Only, I repeat, only through justice Allah makes a nation prosperous, regardless of that nation. They can be Buddhist, they can be Christian, they can be Jewish, they can, you name it. They can be having a lifestyle choice that is against yours. If they are just, Allah will make them prosperous.
This is the system of Allah.
Yes, I agree. In the hereafter, then it changes. In the hereafter, then Allah is the judge on putting people into heaven, hell, whatever he wishes to do, based on a certain criterion that is linked to faith. That is a separate issue. But as far as for us, as we are living our lives, you have to, and we have to be just to family, to friends, to neighbors, to society, to politics, you name it. That's why in every khutbah, at the end, everyone knows, and we take this ayah to be, now it's time to get up and go. You know, there's food for sale over there. I hope my serving is the most, or they put more chicken or whatever they put in there, in my box, in the other one's box. Yes, inna Allah yamuru bil adl doesn't mean you must get ready for the chicken. Inna Allah yamuru bil adl means that Allah commands justice. So what the khutbah is basically saying, even if you didn't hear anything, at least understand one thing. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. Allah is commanding you with adl, justice, goodness, kindness, sincerity, truthfulness, honor, honor on every level. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan. And he's telling you to be husn, to be the best. You know, when I come on Friday, sometimes, I know sometimes I talk very serious, so I depress you. But some of you depress me more than I depress you. Wallahi, I tell you, some of you look so sad. And after you get done, I just wonder what you are going through in life. And may Allah reduce your stress, because you really look very, very stressed sometimes. When you come here, especially after the salah is over, meet people. Meet them with love. Meet them with affection. And I've had this complaint, especially amongst the sisters, unfortunately, that certain sisters only meet certain sisters from certain nationality. It's like as if people from other nationality are not even human. This is not the way to go about, especially on a Friday. Especially on a Friday. It's a happy day. Happy things happen. Happy things will happen. So, therefore, on this given day, after the salah is over, meet one another. Be happy to meet one another. Wish one another well. If you have extra money, and you haven't met someone for a long time, then buy not only yourself food, but share one box with them, especially if it is part of the diet. So that way you can benefit and they can benefit. Now, I'm not here to promote the food, but I think I've done a good enough job today at that. Number 10, so number 9 is justice, taking that very, very seriously. And number 10, falsehood will be perceived as truth. In other words, we will become master liars. We'll be able to lie so convincingly that the one that we are lying to will not be able to tell the difference between whether we are truthful or lies. And this is a thing that we have to monitor. You know, I mentioned this before, there's research out there. A minimum, every person lies 2 to 3 times a day. It just happens. It's not like we plan it. I'm talking about just what they call simple lies, white lies, whatever they call the technical name for it. And this is a bad habit. Because you know, there's a saying, in order to be a good liar, you have to have a very good memory. To be a good liar, you need to have a very good memory. Now let's say roughly there are 400 days in a year, right? For simplicity purposes. And if everyone is taking part in 3 lies roughly a day, that is coming to 1,000 lies a year. Trust me, your memory is going to fail you somewhere along the line. And people are going to find out things about you that you don't really like. So therefore it says, and people will become so good at it that you won't be able to distinguish. But there is a thing called arousal rate in the brain. And eventually the more connection you make with people, the more you'll be able to realize what they are. And the worst part is, when you try to verify whether someone is speaking the truth, and the one that you're trying to verify from, you know, is so-and-so really doing this? Is so-and-so really earning that? And that person lies thereafter. It creates more confusion in your life. So one is I lie. The other one is, now the one that you're going to verify, that person lies about me or doesn't have all the facts. Now can you see the compounding effort and effect of this? Therefore, and you take that person's now to be truthful and the other one, it confuses things out there. Now you think you are confused when I'm talking. This is what's happening in our society. So therefore the hadith says, this is a sign of Qiyamah. Lies will become rampant. Therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he began sharing the message, just one thing the people said, and this is what they said: we don't accept the message, but we know the messenger is speaking the truth. That means this aspect of deen, we don't fully, our hearts don't go towards it, but we know the one that is saying it, he is truthful in nature, he will not lie. In fact, when he told them, if I tell you right now, they're coming from the back to attack us behind this mountain, what is it, Ya Rasulullah? And he asked them, oh people, will you believe me? They said, Ya Rasulullah, if you tell us something is coming from the back of the mountain, whoever it may be, whatever it may be, we will believe you. They knew he was truthful. And this is the landmark and should be the landmark of, inshallah, a Muslim, to be honest to your parents, to your children, to your family, to the community. And inshallah, by doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tremendous amount of success and prosperity in our interactions. So these are the signs of Qiyamah that inshallah, if we focus upon, and next week we will continue. And you know, you'll be amazed as we talk about these signs, whether it was when we spoke about the construction of high-rise buildings, or the selling of one's deen, or the third one we spoke about today, which was number 8, the violation of relational bonds, or number 9, the aspect of justice and how it becomes hard to find, or the little talk that we made about falsehood versus truthfulness. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this hadith is giving us all a strong message. Let's take this message with us, and inshallah, Allah will give us prosperity and barakah in our interactions.